Mizmor nun, Mizmor nun tes. Just wanted to finish up a little bit yesterday. This David's request. David's request regarding his enemies was they should not die. Chiddush, tremendous chiddush, that his enemies should not die. Let's review this pasuk. We were in the middle of these pasukim. Let's start with pasuk Yud Beis. Okay, Yud Beis. David Yud Beis was a continuation of pasuk Yud Aleph. It's on page 516. 516. David Lear says, he makes a request, Yareini Vishoy Roy. The last two words of pasuk Yud Aleph, is where David says, may Hashem show me what I want to see regarding those who want to see me, who want to see my demise. The word Shoy Roy are those that are looking at me, anticipating, waiting patiently for my demise. May Hashem show me their downfall. Now, what do I want to see? What exactly is David requesting that Yareini? May Hashem show me. And that question is answered in Pasuk Yud Beis, and that is Al Tahargim. What I want you to do, Hashem, is I do not want you to eliminate, to kill, to take the life of these wicked people. Because if you do so, that's going to diminish the Kiddush Shem Shemayim of in this world. When these people will die, then they will quickly be forgotten. Their evil will be forgotten, and the lesson that crime does not pay will be forgotten. Rather, keep them alive in a humiliated state, and there'll be a living advertisement for the entire world. That crime does not pay, that it is not worthy to go rebel against Hashem. Al Tahargim. Because if they die, Pen Yishkechu Ami, my nation will forget. They will forget what has happened. They will forget their evil. Hani Emoi V'chelcha, cause them to wander with your power. That was how the Mitzudist of it translates these words. And cause them to become poor. Mogineinu Hashem, you Hashem, you are our shield. It's very difficult as to why, what does the word Mogineinu have anything to do with? What does it have to do with the end of the pasuk? It's not clear what, according to the Rashi and the Mitzudas, do not address what those last two words have anything to do with this pasuk. According to Rashi, the entire pasuk is talking about money. It's all about money. My enemies should not die, but they should become poor. Now, this answers the approach of Rashi and the Mitzudas David. It really is played out in the Torah with regard to Dasan Va'aviram. What does Rashi say about Dasan Va'aviram? Then Moshe, how did the whole story Yitzias Mitzrayim begin? How did it all begin? It all began with the Moshe was growing up in Egypt. He was living in the palace, and by one day Moshe Vayetze Motze Aliros. I forgot the passing. Moshe went out to look at his brethren, and what did he see? He saw Vayar Ish Ivri Make Ish Ivri. First, he saw the day before. He saw an Ish Mitzri. An Ish Mitzri was hitting an Ish Ivri. What did Moshe do? Vayifin Koy V'Koy Vayar Ki Enish, and he killed him. He killed him with the Shem Hashem. The next day he goes out again, and here he sees two Jews fighting.
How did he know Shem Hashem if he grew up in the...
Good question. I don't know. Yes, good question. How did Moshe grew in the palace? Moshe does...
How did he know how to adopt
him? Yeah, how did he know all these things? I don't know. It was natural. I saw a clip yesterday of an autistic child, never saw a piano his entire life. He sat down in front of a piano, and he started playing... Like none other.
Right, he looked like Ray Charles. I saw it.
You saw that video, yeah. Right? And this person, I don't know who this person is, was so a professional musician, was so overcome with what he saw. He bought this very poor child a baby grand piano, I think.
Yeah.
And he promised to himself come and tune it once a month for the rest of his life. And he said he's Mozart. He's mamish on the Madrega of Mozart. He talking, never saw a piano his entire life.
He was seven.
Never saw, never. How did he know? I saw another video, a little kid. The feeling is this, and all of a sudden, and he happened to be in. His mother took him to an orchestra. The mother wants some vacation. They were playing some, and this kid, a little kid, 5 years old, starts conducting perfectly, like a maestro, with such a lishma. How does he know how to do this? It's impossible. And there are stories like this, child prodigies. It takes decades to gain the skill. It has to be that the malach forgot to touch his lips. It's an otherworldly, even in learning. You see some people, they just know. They know. How do they know? Mayor Tamari. How does she know it? I can say a pasuk. She knows. It's a pella. There are certain skills that people have. You can't deny that.
You never saw a piano in your life. You don't know what happens when you touch it.
But this void is.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh
Bidvarav. Whether a film or whatever, you saw a piano. But the mind works differently. He can grasp in 1 minute, but takes someone 10 years.
So send it with Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu, however you want to say it, there are some people that have a gift. They just got it. Moshe, you're asking a very good question. How did Moshe Rabbeinu know the Shem Hashem? The Moshe grew up in the palace of Goyim. Egypt is the Erev HaSaaretz. Klal Yisrael sunk to level 49. This was way before Hashem appeared to Moshe at the burning bush and recruited him and gave him the Nevuah. Moshe over here was still living in Egypt. Klal Yisrael was sinking lower and lower and lower. Moshe was living amongst Goyim. Horrible things were going on. How did Moshe Rabbeinu, you're asking a really good question. How? Rashi says, we have to be in my meaning. The Rashi says that Moshe, he saw the Mitzri hitting the Ish Ivri, and he said a shame Hashem to kill him. How did Moshe Rabbeinu have known and have the knowledge, the kedusha, the spirituality, to know these things, how to do this? It's an incredible question. This is the very beginning. This is way before anything ever happened. I don't know, but that obviously there are other dimensions to our existence that we are not aware of. And we see this all the time. You look around, if you just pay attention, you see there are people in this world, even today, have gifts and talents. And it's just, what are you going to say? You're going to say that they're just smart. There has to be another dimension in the world of Ruchnius that we're just not tuned into to appreciate how people are successful. And people have a talent that's otherworldly. Any event, going back to our story over here, Dasan Moshe, next day he saw two Ivrim hitting each other. Dasan va'aviran, va'yomer lo rosha, lama sakereyecha. They said back to him, halargeni ato oimer kasher harakta es hamitzri. So they responded with chutzpah to Moshe, are you going to kill me? B'dibor. Ato Oimer, with the Shema HaMefarish, the same way you killed the Mitzri yesterday? Moshe says, oh no, Ochein Noida HaDovar. Moshe Rabbeinu, and they, in fact, they slandered on Moshe, they called the police, they reported this incident to Paro. Paro put out a court order to apprehend Moshe for murder, and in fact, according to the Medrash, they did. And they took out a sword to decapitate his Moshe. Miraculously, his neck turned into stone, and the executioners were, something happened to them, and Moshe miraculously escaped. And he said, "I'm not going to try my luck here anymore." And he ran away to Midian, and he met his wife. You see what Hashem does for Shidduchim? The whole story was just that Moshe should find his Bashert. That's how you have to look at it. No, that's the way you have to look at it. In any event, okay, so Moshe stayed by Midian for 40 years, and then Hashem says to Moshe, "Moshe, you can go back." Ki meisu kol ha'anoshim hamavakshim es nafshecha. Who are kol ha'anoshim? You would think Paro. You would think the executioners. No, the troublemakers. It's amazing. The pasuk says Moshe wasn't afraid to go back. The government, they're not going to look for him anymore. They're busy with their own problems. They forgot about Moshe. They're not going to go, he'll walk into town, they don't even remember. But who's going to try to kill you? Dasan va'avira. Could you imagine? That's the pshat. Ki mesu kol ho'anoshim ha'mevakshim es nafshecha. Chazal, Dasan va'aviron are no longer interested in killing you. What do you mean? Only Dasan va'aviron? Paro and all of the whole government, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, MI6, the district attorney is hot on your case. No, they're not. They couldn't kill us. 40 years have passed. They got bigger fish to fry than you. But you know who wants to kill you still? Dasan va'aviron. And Hashem says, Moshe, don't worry. They're dead. They're not dead. Chazal say, they yordu minichseyen. All of their money was in Silicon Valley Bank. Dasan was in Silicon Valley. Avirim was in Signature. And that's it. They're wiped out. They don't have a penny of nothing. They're poor. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing over here that Dasan va'Avirim Hashem did not, they tried to kill the Mashiach Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gadol Hadar, 40 years have passed, and they're living wonderful lives. I mean, they're alive. You would think that, you know, they should be cursed. They try to kill Moshe. Moshe, the great Moshe Rabbeinu. Where's justice? Where's the justice in this world? Hashkocha Pradesh, after 40 years, you would think, people die. People die for a lot less than this. And here they are. They're alive. They're alive and well. They're walking the streets. And nothing happened to them. And Hashem says, don't worry about them. They're not influential. They have no standing in society because they're dirt poor. So look at this. This is Mamish Akim of what it says over here. We learn from this Chazal. It was to Moshe Rabbeinu's benefit that they should be alive. Because if they would have died, then everyone would have forgotten about the whole story. Totally forgotten about what happened 40 years ago. Now there's a new person in town, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to town. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving orders. He's giving orders. And the people are not so happy with what Moshe says. He's shaking everyone up. There's a big shake-up. So it's very easy for people to challenge Moshe. Moshe, you know, who are you? Where have you been for 40 years? Don't tell us what to do. Don't give us orders. So it would be a problem. But when they look over their shoulder and they see, ooh, look who's walking down the street. Dasan va'aviron. Dasan va'aviron, 40 years ago, were multi-billionaires. They were sitting on top of the world. And they challenged Moshe Rabbeinu. And look what happened to them. They're dirt poor. So you know something? Maybe it's not such a good idea. We should fight with Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes. Dasan va'aviron was Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest asset, according to this Chazal. When you learn Chumash, you say, oh, these guys again. Dasan va'aviron, the man, they went and they made trouble, they put out the man, the birds had to come and take away the man. They were there with Korach. They didn't cross the Yam. They didn't go through Kriyas. They challenged Kriyas Yamsuf. The Hashem had to make a special Kriyas Yamsuf just for them. That's what Chazal say. Wherever you go, there they are. So what do you say to yourself? Halavai, these people should have been eliminated long, long ago. During the 40 years of Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, they get sick and they say Tehillim and they die and, go weiter. No. If they would have died, there would never have been a reminder for everyone in Klal Yisrael, don't mess with the boss. Dasan va'aviram was Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest asset. They looked at Dasan va'aviram, they remembered who they were. They, according to Chazal, they were probably the CEO of Twitter, Facebook, Google, and Allah Gutazachen. They were on top of the world. And they were mechutzafim to Moshe Rabbeinu. And what happened to them? They're now homeless. They're poor people. And everyone you pass, they're collectors. They come to shul collecting. You're coming to collect. Could you imagine if Zuckerberg would come to shul? Can you give Stalker, Tatzel, Vimaves? Could you imagine these Dorsey, all these phenomenally the people, the CEO of Twitter, and all these Meshugaim over there, they would come to shul, they're collecting tzedakah. So you say, what happened to you? You mamish trillionaires. What happened to you? We did an avera. We rebelled against Hashem. We rebelled against the Mashiach Hashem. We made trouble for Moshe, and we were reduced to poverty. Wow. Every day, you think about it, nonstop. You think about it, because they're a living example. If they're dead, a mace is nishtakach min halev. Nishtakach min halev. You forget about them. You forget about what they did. You forget about din v'cheshbon oynish. Here, you see an example, a mamish example of what it says over here in this pasuk. This is an astonishing pasuk. Who would ever know? Mizmor Nuntes, whoever reads Mizmor Nuntes. You never even hear, if you've not learned Tilm, you'd never even know there's a Mizmor Nuntes. Al Tashches, who would ever hear of this Mizmor? This is not the Shir HaMalos. This is not what you say Halal. This is not Michtam LeDavid. This is not Ashrei. This is not from the most popular Mizmorim in Tehillim. And yet over here it says here, a Yisoid, Dvar Nifloim Ad Ma'id, and it explains the Pshat and Chumash of Dosan Va'aviram. They survived to the very end until Korach. And the truth is, according to this pasuk, they were Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest asset. It was kedai to put up with all of their mishigasim because they were poor, and they served as a constant reminder to the Klal Yisrael, don't make trouble for Moshe Rabbeinu. It will happen to you what happened to them. They were on top of the world. They were reduced to poverty because they challenged Moshe in the very beginning, 40 years ago. That's what happens to wicked people. They were a dugma. Dvar Nifloin. Oh, now also, now by the way, another thing that's very interesting is money. Interesting. Is David over here is saying that keep them alive and they should become poor. Money, you see this again and again in society, money makes a very big difference. You know, just to go off on a small tangent, is that this shake-up with the, you know, everyone is talking about it in the. So I was talking to someone who was a lawyer yesterday, and told me that in the business world, everyone's talking about this. Everyone's scared. Everyone is sitting about the banks. Is their bank secure? Not secure? What exactly happened? What was the problem? And a lot of that's coming out about this is very, this is also Biden, like, reacted very differently. He gave a speech 9 o'clock in the morning. Never in his career in the last 20 years did he ever do something 9 o'clock in the morning. He never gets up at 9 o'clock in the morning. 9 o'clock. Why did he do 9 o'clock in the morning? Okay, a lot of theories, all the conspiracy theories. What? It's more than that. There's a pachat. Why is there a pachat? So this is very. No, you know, everyone, you don't have to be living under a rock to realize that the last tekufa in this country, this wokeness has taken over like a disease in people's minds.
What is that wokeness? I've heard that
before. Whatever.
I'm letting him talk. I can ask questions. This is the whole part of the year.
The wokeness is to embrace insanity. Embrace ideas that have been traditionally ridiculous, nonsense. It's a lot more complicated than that, but crazy things. And one crazy thing, another crazy thing, and the people who are promoting this, they get away with everything. But this, now, these two banks are leaders. In wokeness, mamish leaders in the world of wokeness, and they lost all their money. This didn't happen before. There have been a lot of court cases where they lost. There have been people who have pushed back in many, many different ways. There's been a lot of pushback, and they've been defeated here and there every so often. Big deal, they've been defeated. All right, so just one step backwards, two steps forwards. But
Who were these two people?
Two banks. There are two banks.
Yeah.
So two banks collapsed.
Yes, right.
So these two banks are led. Are the investors in these banks are
not
woke?
The management.
The management and then the investors are people. are really mishugayim. It's coming on these videos of they really and the money they what they invest in is in these crazy promotions of these crazy, and now they lost all their money. When you lose your money,
they're getting it all back in space.
When you lose money,
the
it affects you.
Even above 250.
Okay, the depositors of the FDIC says we're going to insure.
Even above 250, they're getting back.
It's not so clear. What's not so clear? The bailout. They keep on changing their mind. Every they mix. They first say that the investors are not. They're not going to. They lost all their money. Now they say no. They're going to give them their money. It's a bail. Whatever it is. Whatever it will be whatever it is. But
they certainly
this.
Got a scare. They certainly got a scare.
This is not. The reaction is very different this time because there have been many defeats. They've been defeated a number of times here and there with court decisions or with people just not accepting, just, you know, parents who come and just make a big stink and rebel. There's been an uprising amongst people, and there have been situations where the courts have decided against them. They don't care. All of a sudden, when they've been defeated in their pocketbook, yeah. This is different. This is different. When their mishigasim have led to the loss of money. Money is not like when the Supreme Court gives a decision that you're a shoyim. It's not like when there are mass protests in the street. Money? I lost my money? The bank collapsed? I lost my money? And then people are watching this. And they're showing what kind of mishugayim these people are who manage these banks, what kind of lives they live, and what kind of things they promote. Money? Then it's a whole different story. David over here says, right. It's yes and no, partially yes. It's very complicated. I didn't study it that much. Just 5-10 minutes reading the news, but it is. You definitely get a sense that the reaction to this crisis is very different than the reaction to all other, and let's not go to Russian politics, many other different issues are going on in the country. Why? It's money. Money is different. David here is very clever.
He says, I'll have a game, but yet take away the money.
Chashev Kemes. It's Chashev Kemes. It's not Mesh Mamish.
So he got what he wanted.
Right, he got what he wanted. Right. But it's Chashev Kemes.
Said they should have had this makhla, that makhla, this lawyer. Money
could outdo that, those problems. But if he's a money, come in. Money,
again, like you're saying, we need them as the poster child for problems.
Exactly. But David didn't say, oh, they should be sick. Let them be, lie in the hospital. Or let them, there are many different ways people can be humiliated. David says the humiliation that they need, that it should penetrate their thick skull, and the thick skull of society is money, because that talks to everyone.
This is the next pasuk that he says, and the end will nichseyem. So let them be poor.
We see this is the pasuk. Hani'emoi b'chelcha v'haridemoi. They should be poor. This speaks differently to people. David was very precise in they should stay alive, but they should be humiliated. There are many ways to humiliate people. Many ways. You know, you're a politician. You lose your position. There's illness, and you can be in prison for crimes. All different things can happen to a person to be humiliated. But this, no, let them have a regular life, but be poor. When people look at them, it hits home. Unfortunately, money is the source of all evil. Don't worry, I bought a lottery ticket. I buy a lottery. I have it on autopilot now.
My understanding is that the wealth of these banks was on something called Bitcoin.
No. USDC. It was a very secure. Circle, the USDC, it's a Pella, what happened? It is a cryptocurrency which is pegged to the US dollar.
Ah, so it's pegged based on something.
Okay. It's pegged to the US dollar, and for the first time it was unpegged. It was 93 cents per dollar. Which is you kidding, in the world of cryptocurrency, it is a Pella. It shook the foundation of a cryptocurrency. It's unbelievable. I know there's a lot of other things going on. It's a very broad.
They took the money out, they had to sell the bonds, they sold it billions of dollars.
There was corruption as well, there was corruption. And the biggest, the most corrupt person was Newsom, the governor of California. The governor is heavily invested in this, and he's the one who petitioned the government for a bailout for himself. This is an incredible conflict of interest. He's like Trudeau. He's like the American version of Trudeau. Ramachol, where's Ramachol? Ramachol, he lives and breathes this stuff. He can tell us all the gory details. Okay, let's go further. Okay, this pasuk is a really powerful stuff. It really touches upon many, many concepts. It explains mamish, a whole new insight into Dasam Vaviram. It gives a whole new insight into David, and also it talks about money. It really reveals the power of money. It reveals that we all people think, oh, you know, money's not everything. You know, you have a parnasa, money, you know. Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? The whole world revolves around one thing only. It revolves around money. And even when we think, yeah, you know, as long as we have enough money to get by, this, that, you know, and we shuckle. Money is a disease. It's it's the power of money. It's really unbelievable. Okay, there were Gedolei Yisrael that were mispalo. I once made a comment not that long ago, too. I just, it's like a little bit of a joke about money, that whatever the situation was. So a very big Talmud Chacham said to me, you know, there were many Gedolei Yisrael that were mispalo that they and their children should be poor.
Wow.
It's a fact. It's true.
Your learning can't be...
It's a distraction. It's a distraction. Money, you know, people. We have a problem in this society. Everyone is, the goal is Torah u'gidula b'mokim mechad. In the world of Shidduchim, what do the parents do? Half a day he learns, and half a day he's in business.
The other guy is half a day he doesn't learn, and half a day he doesn't learn.
You know how common, you know how often you hear that? You know what that means? That means he doesn't learn and he doesn't work.
Right.
That's really what it means. Really what it means. There's no such thing, Rabbi Yisai. There's no such thing as is that you're a gvir, you're very comfortable, and you're a massive Talmud Chacham. No such thing. Person is learning. Baruch Hashem, Toirasai, Umnasai. How does he survive? I don't know. But he's not rich. People that are very, very wealthy, they're not Talmid Chachamim. I mean, they're Talmid Chachamim. It's not the same. It's a distraction. It's a distraction. It's just not to have Torah u'gedula b'mokayim echad is a myth. It's a myth. You can't have it all. You have to have a priority. And if a person's priority is money, Kol hakavod. You'll be. This is your tafkid in this world. This is where you have your niche. You have a koyach. Kol hakavod. What's adaraba? A person's niche is in learning. Kol hakavod. To go and you're in learning and you think you're going to be a chacham. You're going to go a chveis and have a kunz get rich quick scheme. Come on, it doesn't go like that. It's not the way Hashem made this world. The way Hashem made this world is, you want to be matzliach, you have to put your full koichos into it. No exceptions. You'll tell me, Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Yeah. One in a billion. Okay, one in a billion is a yoytzim in a klal, one in a billion. The average person is not the yoytzim in a klal. Not the yoytzim in a klal. I recently, there's a certain person who has a reputation as being Torah u'gedul makim echad. It's a young guy. He mamash, he learns. He learns b'hasmad gemura. B'hasmad gemura. And for half a day. And then he goes to work. And he's seemingly very successful. He gives a lot of money to tzedakah. And I recently had I was a certain place and an interaction, and I was really shocked with this person's midos. I was really, really shocked. Like, this person, you know, he presents himself as being something is wrong. There's something wrong. If you really, the Torah that you really claim, that you really promote yourself as being, there's no way you would behave like that. There's no way you would behave like this. And it was a lesson to me. It was a real wake-up call to me is, you really can't have it both. You can't have it both.
A Rosh Yeshiva will never be, as smart as he might be, he'll never be a Rosh Yeshiva. As much money, he'll never get to that majority.
Someone that being Tei Rosh Yeshiva is there's no such thing. Someone who's real. Someone who's a real Talmud Chacham with real Yirah Shemayim and lives what he learns. Lives, you know, what Torah promotes. Okay, 99% of the population, you know, we do what we can do. You know, you get up in the morning, you do some lip service. I'm not talking about myself. Right, and you know, and you come and you learn and you play around, whatever you do. There are certain people who are the real deal. You know, every once in a while you meet one of those type of people. And then they are very big gevurim, they are very successful people. They are big lawyers, big doctors. There are big business entrepreneurs. There are choshev people. There are people, there are very successful people. But to say, oh, you're going to show me a person he's a real Talmud Chacham Yerush Shemayim, and he's an incredibly successful businessman, or yeah, okay, I mean it doesn't go like that. It doesn't go like that. Money, especially with money is a very big distraction. All right, that's what I'm saying is you'll tell me it's nonsense because I'm just jealous. You're right. Maybe you are correct in that regard, but this pasuk is definitely, in my eyes, it was an eye opener when I read these words, "Hani emoi v'chelcha v'haridemu," which, according to Rashi, the whole pasuk means "take away their money, take away their money." They'll be singing a different tune, different song. Let's go to the next pasuk Yud Gimel. So we learned two perushim yesterday. According to the Mitzudos David, the only part of this pasuk that talks about money, according to the Mitzudos David, is the word v'horidemo. The first two words of the pasuk refers to wandering. They should wander. Hani emoi v'chelcha. Chelcha, the subject of chelcha is Hashem. Hashem's power. Hashem, with your almighty power, cause these people to wander from place to place. They should be exiled. And number two, the Hoiridemo, they shall take them down from their wealth, from their money. That's how the Mitzudos David learns. Rashi learns all three words refers to money. Chelcha.
In the world, Hani Emo, you have Oni also. Ayin, Nun, Vayud. In the world, Hani Emo.
Yeah.
So the Oni.
Oni, very good. Oni. Okay, the letters are backwards. Ayin and Hani Emo backwards. Look now. Rashi says all three words. The entire expression refers to a shake up in their wealth. Shake them up from their security of their wealth. Look at Rashi. Hani Emoi minich sehem. Shake them. Hani Emo means they should be dislodged from their assets. Sheyiyu aniyim. So v'chelcha, I guess it means your power. And ordinarily, the word chel is money. Many times the word chelcha means money. Now, in this context, according to Rashi, doesn't say that exactly. It doesn't even translate the word of v'chelcha. Chelcha, here's you, v'chaf, your power. Hani emoi is to dislodge them from their sense of security, which is what gives a person security? Money. And they shall descend into a state, into a social category of being poor. Of being poor. That's, and Mitzudos, he only says the word being poor only on the word Hori Deimo, they should descend. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel says, Chatas Pimoi.
How does that answer? What is Mogi Deim fill in here?
David over here is, let's read the Mitzudos then.
Rashi finishes, but he, in the comma,
that's, he's going back to explain.
What is Shetizot there? What does that mean in the Arab language? They'll remember it forever?
So that people will see, when they look at these people, they will be reminded of what they did and of their punishment. If they will die, if these individuals will die immediately, then in a short time, no one will remember what happened.
Right, okay, so they'll be alive.
When they'll be alive, there'll be a living reminder. That I told you in the beginning, that is just a general expression. I told you, I don't know what the connection is.
Yeah.
You are our shield. What is this? I told you, I don't know what the connection is. Rashi and the Mitzvahs don't explain why these two words conclude this pasuk. General is that Kadosh Baruch Hu, you are my shield. Maybe what it means is that if they're alive, maybe I'm thinking now out loud with you, is that there is a danger of them being alive. If Dasan va'aviram remain alive, look, didn't they try to undermine Moshe Rabbeinu? Maybe that's what it means. Dasan va'aviram, look, what I told you before was Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest asset. Because when people saw Dasan va'aviram in the street, they right away, wow, these guys used to be on top of the world. And now they're homeless. What happened to them? I know what happened. I can't prove it. But I know they were mechutzafim to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the Gadol Hadar.
Oh, I think I got it, Doctor. Hashem, you're our shield. We'll get Musa from them. They'll be alive. We'll see how you're saying. We'll get Musa from them. That is your shield. The shield that you're providing us with is that we're going to be constantly reminded of this Musa.
Okay,
that
very good.
That will be our shield.
Very good, okay, very good. Is that the fact that they're going to be alive is an asset that they're going to serve as a living example that will provide us as protection.
That is our protection.
I was thinking at this moment a little bit different, and that is it's a trade-off. When as long as they're alive, they're a living example to remind people, don't misbehave, it will happen to you, it happened to them. But there's a danger. Because Dasan va'avirim are alive, and they're looking to make more trouble. And they did make more trouble. They did. Dasan va'avirim, they lived all the way to Korach. When it came to the Mon, what did they do? They tried to undermine Moshe Rabbeinu. When it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, they tried to convince people not to go. They gave it bad advice to Paro. So it's a double-edged sword. It's a maila that they're alive. Because they serve as an example to the people. Look, don't misbehave. If you misbehave, you're going to suffer like them. On the other hand, as long as they're alive, they're looking to make more trouble. And they're trying to make more trouble. And if you blink for 1 second, they'll swallow you up. So Hashem, protect me from Dasan va'aviram. Make believe we're referring here to Dasan va'aviram. Moshe says, I don't want them to die. I want them to remain alive. That way people are going to look at them, will be a constant reminder. But if they're alive, Moshe, don't you realize they're going to convince people not to cross the Yam? They're going to give advice to Paro that's going to be harmful for the Jewish people. They're going to put out the mon in the middle of the night to undermine you.
The bigger the risk, the bigger the problem.
Exactly, exactly. The bigger the when you don't make money and don't take risks. That's all about life is about. You got to take risks. So Hashem, protect me from the risks. Be a morgain. Let us invest in them. But if you're investing, it means there's high risk. Protect me from the high risk. I should have the best of both worlds. Or like what you're saying. You're saying, I think, more and more pshat. Is that through them staying alive, it will serve as an asset, as a tool for my protection. People are not going to start up with me so quickly when they see them hanging on the wall. You walk into someone, they have on a deer, right? They put a beer, a beer's head.
Trophies.
You're gonna start with me, you know. If I'm able to, if I was able to put this on my wall, you know what I'll do to you? Pasuk Yud Gimel. Chatas Pimoy, the sin of Pimo, their mouth. Divar Sifa Semo, the words of their lips. David here is addressing his enemies, the evil people who slander David. Vilokidu Vigoinam, may they be caught in their arrogance. This is another incredible insight into the human condition. What does a person in? Okay, we only know in the politics. Think about the politicians. See, over here, the cover up. Many politicians in history have gotten into a lot of trouble. America, we always say, is very forgiving. If a person, when he gets caught, would say, "I got caught," it's very embarrassing. I acknowledge my sin. I'm sorry. I'll never do it again. I'm going for therapy. In America, it's all you need to do. America's a very kind, gracious, forgiving country. You can get away with mamish murder if you say you're sorry and you chatasi avisi poshati. So what happens? They don't. They think they can get away with it. And they do a cover-up. They work backwards and they cover everything up. And then they get caught. Why did they engage in a cover-up? Why didn't they just admit they were wrong? Gaiva, 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 gaiva. Not that it's the gaiva. Did you ever hear a politician say, "I made a mistake. I promoted a policy that was a mistake"? Never. You'll never hear from a politician.
I've never made any mistakes.
Ever hear you get caught with a lie, you respond with a bigger lie. A bigger lie. You just one lie after another, you get deeper and deeper. I made a mistake, I did something, I promoted an idea or a policy which now I see in hindsight was horrible and led to suffering of many people. Never, ever, ever, ever. You blame the previous administration. You blame someone else. Why? What's the root? What? Why? Why? Why do they do that? Why? David here, 3,000 years ago, was a much greater psychologist than any person living, is because it's gaiva. Gaiva. Vilochidu vigeoinam, they should be caught in their arrogance. Their arrogance prevents them from confessing. It causes them to continue to go down a path of more lies and cover-ups, and ultimately you get to a point where everything just collapses. Everything collapses. You can't go that further. Ume ola umikachash yisaperu, from a curse and a lies they will speak. Now, what in the world does this mean? Let's take a look at the Mitzvah's David. Mitzvah's David, Pasuk Yud Gimel.
The subject is klalot v'shek. This is their.
This is what this is their profession. Their profession is, what do they do the whole day? The whole day is they curse and they lie. Yisaperu. This is the type of people that we are describing. Let's look here at the Mitzvah's David and Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Gimel says chatas pimay ezeh asei lohem. So this, according to the Mitzvah David, this is a continuation. It concludes the words yareini v'shoyeroi. Okay, let me see my enemies suffer. Those that are trying, that wish upon, want to see upon me evil, because you have to add a word here, because they deserve it. Why do they deserve this horrific punishment of becoming destitute? It's because chatas pimoy ezeh asei lohem. That's a fancy way of saying because ba'avoin chatas pimoy, the sin of their mouth, because they're a bunch of liars, they're slanderers, they're liars, they engage in all these horrible things. The yunil kadim bavur ga'avos, and they should be caught. They should be captured due to their arrogance. They should be trapped in their arrogance. Ume Allah, ume roif haklol asher yavayon, due to the abundance of curse asher yovoy aleim uveroiv hakachash v'harazoyin asher yivoy So Rav Kalman, the mitzvah over here is learning something a little different. First, let's see what the mitzvah says. You said a different idea. The mitzvah over here is saying is, due to the curse that will come upon them, and due to the umikachash being caught, umiroiva kachash v'harazoyin asher yivoy So kachash here means, it doesn't mean a lie. Kachash means withering away. Razoy means being destitute. Razo means poor, destitute. It means lesoiva v'loy lirazoin, for plenty and not for what's called famine, poverty, for shortages. Scarcity. What's the word?
Scarcity.
Okay, lesoiva and when birchas hageshem, birchas tal. Lesoiva veloy lerozoin. May Hashem bless us with satiation, not with hunger, not with scarcity, not with poverty, not with shortages. Lerozoin. So here the word kachash does not mean a lie. According to the Mitzudos Tzion, kachash here means poverty. And due to the curses that will come upon my enemies, and due to the poverty, this very well goes back, it fits very well with what it said in the word V'chori Deimoy. May Hashem, you curse them and cause them to become poor. So the poor here is going to be brought out in the word kachash. When they become poor, when people will observe and reflect what has come upon these wicked people, they've been cursed and they suffer from poverty. Yisaperu habriyos. People are going to talk to each other. Look what happened to this guy. Why? People love, this is something people love to do. They love to tell you why bad things happen to good people. People, they love to tell you why the Holocaust happened. They love to tell you why tach v'tat. It's a horrible thing, horrible thing. No one knows nothing. But people have a tendency to talk, and they get scared. And maybe, you know, dealing over here a different time period than dealing over here with David is saying when people, they're going to talk to each other, and they're going to look at this guy, wow, look at him, remember him, he was once a trillionaire, and now look at him now, he's in the street asking for pennies, wow, how did this happen, how was this guy cursed, did he go from such a high to such a low, how come he's so poor, I remember when Moshe Rabbeinu, what he did to Moshe Rabbeinu, I remember those days, that's why, what's the lesson? The lesson is, don't go woke. Go woke, go broke. That's the lesson. Mama's broke over here. Go over here. They're poor. That's the lesson. Due to the kachash and the rozain, asher yivoy which Hashem will bring upon them, yisapru habriyoy zel azeh eskol hakoyrois them, all of the events that happened to them. The year hadavar zochur, people will remember. The yikhu mehem musar, will learn musar. So this is a continuation of the previous idea. He finishes through. So the translation is: all of the tsaros that will come upon them will be because of chatas pimo, the sin of their mouth.
Their original sin was chatat pimo.
Lashon hara.
So now
they'll get what they deserve. Or boomerang. It will boomerang.
People talk about them.
People will talk. Very good. Mida keneged mida. Ki ba davar asher zadu alehem. The way Hashem operates is mida keneged mida. They slander David. People are now going to be talking about them. They're going to be discussing their misery. They're going to be a topic of conversation. And because they will be a topic of conversation, they will be meeting, and they can meet, this will serve to the benefit of David, to the benefit of the tzaddikim. People will take Musar.
He
needs them alive. Exactly. Because if they die, a mace is neshtakach min aleif. It's interesting how the Chazal, they hear those words. We look at those words as a mystical concept. As a mystical concept that as long as a person is alive, Yaakov Avinu, Yosef was alive for 22 years, where was he? Another part of the world. So Yaakov Avinu, because it's a gzeira min hashamayim, a mace is nishtakach min halev. But it's in my mind he died already. No, it's a supernatural concept. That concept works here as well. Even a Rasha, as long as the Rasha is alive, people think about the Rasha. And if there's what to learn from the Rasha, that creates a Kiddush Hashem. Because people are then able to see that, look, a Rasha is punished. You talk about, remember that story I told yesterday about Hitler, Yimach Shem Avizukron, this fellow wanted to suggest, he wrote a book trying to show that he really escaped. He escaped to Argentina and he lived for another whatever number of years he lived. So according to that, if you want to add the supernatural concept, a mace is nishtakach min alev. If Hitler was alive, even in hiding in secret, people think about him. And there is a lesson to learn. There's a lesson to learn of rishus. There are different dimensions of what to learn about rishoyim in this world. And sometimes it's necessary to keep the Rasha alive, to be a conscious for the living to remember, don't be like that. Don't be a Rasha. Don't cause other people pain and suffering. There's another element here that because Chazal used these terms, a mace is nishtakach min halev, which l'choira is a supernatural concept. Because of Yosef, Yaakov and Yosef. Yaakov thought he was dead. No, Yaakov thought, here's the evidence. Okay, smoking gun evidence that Yosef is dead. And yet Yaakov Avinu can't find peace. Why? Because he's really alive. How does that work? It's something which we don't understand. It's a dimension of Ruchnis that we don't understand. And over here, Chazal are saying it works when it comes to a Rasha. If a Rasha is still alive in this world somewhere, locked up in a prison, in a prison cell, just the fact that he's alive somehow shakes up the living. For good and for bad. Okay, maybe for bad because people get scared, whatever. But for good in a way that there's a lesson to learn. And a person should not forget the lesson, because once the person dies, that lesson is very easily forgotten. Okay, this is this pasuk. Now let's see over here. Let's see Rashi. Rashi on this pasuk says, "Al pasuk Yud Gimel." Sorry. Weakness.
Weakness or frailty.
Lean. Kochosh. Lean. To lose weight. To lose weight. Is a new. There's a new drug now that's captured on the country. So. To lose weight, there's a shot. There's a medication they give for people with diabetes.
It's Ozempic.
What?
Ozempic.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
And they give it for people who have diabetes, and they've discovered that healthy people are taking it to lose weight,
Right.
And it is so popular. A doctor told me there are shortages of critical medicines that people need for all different things, because all of the factories that make medications are being diverted to make these weight loss pills. So suddenly they work in a hospital, and he's telling me all that he noticed, all of the people are shrinking. All the people are addicted, they're shrinking. And this doctor actually told me that it's a very dangerous medicine. It's addictive, and it's not people are abusing it, but the customer wants it. So what are you going to tell this is a society where they do whatever the customer wants? In any event, chatas kol p'em hu davar the chatas is here. Rashi pasuk yud gimel kachash when a person loses weight, he shrinks. He sheds those extra pounds. Chatas shel piyam hu. So Rashi says, "Pasuk Yigim the chatas shel piyam hu devar sifasemu." So over here, Rashi is a little bit more sophisticated. Rashi, not like the Mitzvah David. Rashi says the sin. He puts these two terms together. The chatas pimoi is the devar sifasemu. According to the Mitzvah, these are two completely different, two completely different statements. There is chatas pimoy, kama, and there is devar sifosemoy. There's the sin of their mouth, and there is the words that come from their lips. It's poetic repetition, but it's two different concepts. According to Rashi, no. The chet of the peh is the words that come from the lips. Okay, it's the same idea, but Rashi over here is more poetic. More poetic in telling us something, connecting these two together. Vinil kadim bigo'oinam, and they will be vinil kadim bigo'oinam in their arrogance. Cho'anim hanerdafim al yideihem. Vinil kadim bigo'oinam. Cho'anim. What does it say in Oiz Gimel? Vinil kadim anim. Loi ratz lefarish shilashim tefila. Sheyilkadu heim atzlam kiperish haradak. Imkin havalei lemeimar yilkadu b'loivav. Okay, the poor people are nilkadim al yideihem. Okay, so the thing over here is not like what I told you. I told you maybe what the Radak says. This is not what Rashi says. I told you what the Mitzudas David says. Well, I translated these words. I translated according to the Mitzudas David, which means that the wicked people will be exposed. And what is the cause of them getting caught? Their arrogance. The root of their problem is their arrogance. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says this is part of their sin. We are continuing to describe the crime of the wicked. The crime of the wicked is the words that come out of their mouth and the fact that the poor people are victims of the arrogance of the rich and famous. The rich and famous, they get carried away with themselves and they use their arrogance to abuse poor people. They subjugate them. They make them slaves or they want to make money off them, so they invent products that they don't need that are harmful for them in order that they can steal all of their money. The poor people suffer as being trapped in the arrogance of the wicked. Lefi Rashi, again, we're describing here the chato'im of the Rishoim. Number one, they're wicked. What comes out of their mouth is blasphemy. The chatas pinoy is devar sifosemo, period. That's exhibit A. That's the first crime of the wicked. Crime B, exhibit B, V'yilkidu v'go'oinam, the poor people of this world have been caught in the trap of the arrogance of the wicked. You see that in society today. There are some very arrogant people who think they own the world, and they tell everyone what to do. And everyone has no choice. You have to listen. You have to obey their orders. The poor people are trapped in the arrogance of the wicked. In China, I saw a video. If you cross the street, if you don't cross the street on the crosswalk, if you don't wait for the light, and you cross, so there's a big screen. There's a big screen on the street, and if you're caught doing the wrong thing when you cross the street, all of a sudden your picture appears on this big screen with very nasty things. Nasty words and saying this person is a criminal. He has illegally crossed the street. He's jaywalked. He's a wicked person. He should be put to shame. And then right away, your bank accounts, they deduct a fine from your bank account. It's sucked out of your bank account, the fine for jaywalking, because how do they know? Well, digital ID. You walk the street. They see your face, the camera right away recognize who you are, and they right away put all your private information on a big screen in order to be mevazi. Who gives you the right to do that? Who gives you the right to do that? The government. Some very powerful people. So that's just a teeny example of what happens when you abuse. The powerful, arrogant, wealthy, rich people who control these power, they abuse the poor people because of their arrogance. We're in charge. We can do whatever we want. You must obey, or will ship you out. This is part of the chatoim of the rishoim. What comes out of their mouth is sinful, and the fact that the Ilkadu, the subject of Ilkadu, are the poor people, they are trapped in the arrogance of these rishoim. That's how Rashi learns the pshat in this pasuk. Vilkadim bigoinam huaniim hanirdafim alidim, which are pursued, victimized because of the rich, the arrogant. Mibnei ha'ola v'akachash shehem misaprim. So again, this is a continuation because of the lies. Now he learns, it's very obvious. Rashi learns it from Kalman, said the word kachash means a lie. Not like the Mitzudais. The Mitzudais says it means rozoin, lean. According to Rashi, the word kachash is a lie. What's the difficulty with Rashi? You just say kochosh. The nikud is not what we would expect. Kachash means lean. Kochosh, a lie is with a komatz, not with a patach. But Rashi says no, it means a lie. Because of the curses that come out of the mouth of the Rasha, and because of the lies of the Rasha, Yisaperu, which the Rishoim speak, the Rishoim utter, Yisaperu, they, the subject of Yisaperu, are the Rishoim. The Rishoim speak curses and lies. And due to their curses and lies, the poor people are victimized. And that for them is the sin, is a terrible sin that goes to their credit. And because of that, that's why David curses them. They should suffer poverty and live a long life with their poverty and serve as an example to society. So we have over here Rashi has a whole new twist on this pasuk. Let's review very quickly. Machlokes Rashi and the Mitzudas, the Pshuta Shel Mikra of this pasuk. According to the Mitzudas David, we only are describing over here their sins in the very beginning of the pasuk. The first six verses. The Rishoim, what do? Chatas Pimo. They sin with their mouth. Number two, Divar Sifosemo. The words of evil come out of their mouth. Period. Now, there's repetition, and it's a little choppy. It's okay. It refers to these are the sins of the wicked people. Now, part two. Now, the second part of the pasuk tells us what's going to happen to them. You know what's going to happen to them? V'lochdu v'goinam. The day of reckoning will come. They will be trapped. They will be caught in their own evil, in their arrogance. And you know what else can happen to them? They're going to be cursed. And umikachash, they're going to become poor. And people in society are going to talk about it. And they're going to use them as an example. Crime doesn't pay, yisaperu. That is the perish of the Mitzudas David. Rashi is very different. Rashi learns the entire pasuk is describing the evil of the wicked. First thing is chatas pimo udvar sifasemo. That's one expression. The sin of their mouth is the words that come from their lips. It's a poetic way of saying that these people are wicked in how they abuse their koyach hadibur. They get up in front of a microphone and they say the most outrageous lies. Outrageous, misleading lies to give people the impression everything is fine and good. And everything is rotted away. And if you don't correct the problems immediately and be aware of what's going on, there's no hope. That's a terrible avera. To mislead the public by presenting things to be fine and good, everything is wonderful, there's no inflation, and everything is good. The chatas pimay are the divar sifasem. What else? What other crime have they committed? The yilkatu v'go'inam. They have trapped with their arrogance the poor people. They have victimized them because they threaten them with yisaperu, because they say to them, if you misbehave, there's going to be consequences. We're going to send you away to labor camps, the concentration camps. We're going to send you away. Who knows what we're going to do? They curse them and they tell them, we're going to take away your money If you protest against us, we just snap a photograph of your license plate. Remember what happened in Canada? In Canada, about 6 months ago, there were protests in the street. So what did they, the truckers? So what did the government do? The government went, took pictures of all of the license plates of all the truckers, and they froze their bank accounts. They froze their bank accounts. They said and they cursed them and they made them poor. So you know what happened? You know what happened that when they did that? You know they don't tell you in the news what happened. When they did that. Then all of a sudden, about a few days later, the Prime Minister Trudeau, he gets up and he says, "Oh, we're changing policy. All their bank accounts are now open. They've been restored." What happened? During those 5 days that all of the truckers' bank accounts were frozen, 20% of the assets in Canada of the people whose bank accounts were not frozen, removed their money from Canada and sent it to the United States or to other countries. Because everyone says, if this is what they do to them, who knows what they'll do to us? 20% of the assets of Canadians were transferred to American and other banks.
But also they
20% is a fact. Google it. What?
People who donated money to them, that was taken away also.
They told Trudeau, if you continue this another few days, there won't be any money left in this country. Because if you go and you freeze someone's bank account because you don't like them, because they protest, you've lost the trust of the people.
Well, one of the CEOs from SVB had his money in SVB Bank. And he refused to, he was an Israeli, one of the Israeli high tech ones. He refused to move the money when he heard the problems. He refused to move it back to Israel because he wouldn't put it in an Israeli bank.
Oh, Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom.
The
only country that never, do you know the only country, I think, in the world that never defaulted on their bonds was Israel? The Israel bonds? The most secure bonds in the world. All right, anyway, it's mamish, like current events. They threaten you that you will be cursed and you will be poor. And because of their people are threatened, the poor people are trapped. They're trapped in the arrogance of these people who speak like this. That is a terrible sin, and that's called the chatas pimoy devar sefasemo. And David says about these people, they should be punished. Not with dying, they should live arichas yamim v'shanim, but should live long years in a state of poverty to serve as a living example. Okay, enough said. Now there's really Radak. We're just looking at the Radak very quickly because there's a Radak. What does the Radak over here in this passage say? Passing very good short Radak. Passing the Gimel. Chatas pimoy yakir v'yedu kizeh oynesh hu oynesh divreim hadoyim shem medabim ra olai. Everyone's going to acknowledge that the punishment comes because of this slander they spoke about me. V'yasu im yuchlu. I don't know what that means. People, they try to say evil about me. U'v'go'oynam shem miskoyim alai yilochtu v'choyridem migo'oynam u'migdulosam. Radak is learning exactly like what we learned in the Mitzudos David. The second part of the pasuk is describing not their crime, but the punishment. May they be humiliated. May they be taken down in their arrogance. He learns like the Mitzudos David. Like we learned as David, the word kachash here means leanness. Rozoin sheyivoyim. Yisabu b'nei Adam zelazeh. People will speak, will relate. They will communicate with one another. The yesh mefarshim ala shavua. Some learn what ala means, not a curse, but a shavua. The kachash means sheker. Upe rushoy chatas pimoy yachshileim. The lochdu b'goinam. The chatas pimoy hu shedivreim heim sheker u'shavua shav. Of Kalman, this is what you said. Rav Kalman, the Radak, Rav Kalman was mechavim to the Radak. He learns the pasuk, a hybrid between what the Mitzudos David said. The second part of the pasuk is referring to the punishment, but the last three words is a description of what kind of people we're dealing with. We're dealing with people that are a bunch of good-for-nothings. They make false shvuas, they swear, which is here used as a derogatory, their word is nothing. Whatever comes out of their mouth, even if they swear it's a lie, and they're full of lies, these people, that's what they do the whole day. They're in the business of promoting lies. That's the type of people that they are.
And I think David HaMelech had both Perushim in mind.
More. Only both. I'm sure he had many more. Okay. So we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we're going to do Pasuk Yudalid. B'li Neder. Yiratz Hashem.